You turn to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 1. And so he got into a boat and crossed over and came into his own city. And then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. And at once the scribes said within themselves, Well, this man blasphemes. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, Your sins are forgiven you, or to say, Arise and walk? But that you may know the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, then he said to the paralytic, Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And he arose and departed his house. Now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, who had given such power to men. Think about these men obviously had heard of Jesus and the goodness of Jesus and that he was a healer. And, you know, Pastor Mary has been teaching on equip class about the one another's being connected. And these men all got unified in helping their friend. It wasn't like, well, maybe we get you to the meeting, maybe we can just drop you off. Is that okay? No. They just didn't say, we'll take you there. They got their faith activated like they're the ones that need to be healed. And so they came, you might say, as one. They came as one. They were unified. And of course, when they got there, it's crowded. The house is totally full inside, and there's people outside. And but they came with expectation, and they came to get their friend healed. And we're not leaving. And so, obviously, they start looking for a way. How can we get him to Jesus? And someone probably had to say, you know, I think we can come in through the roof. Is everybody in agreement with that? Okay, let's do it. Jesus is preaching, teaching. You know, Mark goes into it. They start taking the tiles off the roof. Well, you're in a meeting, and there's a disturbance going on, and what is this going? And, of course, they had to make it big enough to let the man down. Somehow, there was no room in that room, but somehow there's room made. And think about that. It's not the same type of house we live in today, roofs. But there still had to be some debris fall down. Even not tiles, but as careful as they were, there had to be dust and disturbing. And so they let the man down, as you know. It didn't bother Jesus that his meeting got interrupted. It didn't bother Jesus that things are falling around or whatever from all that. He said he saw their faith. That's why I say they came as one. They were all in a faith. They were all in agreement. And it's interesting, of course, you know, what Jesus said to the man. Jesus always spoke from heaven. He represented heaven's perspective. He represented God the Father. And so he got right to the issue. He said, be of good cheer, son. Thy sins, not sins, sins are forgiven. I think it's interesting that Jesus did not make an issue about the sins. Let's get that dealt with. Let's have a clean slate. And let's move on. Jesus never ignored sin, but he didn't make an issue out of it. You understand what I mean? No, I've come to set you free. I want to see you free. And there's two thoughts about this, that maybe sin caused the sickness. Or the other thought was, you know, the Jews believe every sickness was caused by sin, which is not true, but that's how they viewed it. And so that man could have maybe not done anything sin-wise to cause this sickness. But his thinking could have think, maybe I've done something, maybe I've done something. Well, regardless of that, Jesus said, let's just get it all cleared up right now. Your sins are forgiven.
Well, that started that uproar in the thought life of the Pharisees and those, you know, it's like, well, who are you? Now, when Jesus spoke and when Jesus looked, the kind of look he gave them was one of total approval. Not of what the person has done or hasn't done, no, of the person himself, of those men themselves. You could say they could sense his approval. They could sense his love. And you know, sound is so important. There's songs on the radio. Some songs, they take you down. They do not lift you up. Right? You even have Christian songs, sad to say, that can take you down and lift you up. But when Jesus said, be of good cheer, there was a lift to that. There was a sound to that, that you might say, if that man wasn't totally open, he got opened up. He got opened up to receive what heaven had. And then, of course, Jesus goes on to say, what's easier to say, thy sins are forgiven, or to say, you're healed? He didn't say, healed. Okay, you arise, get up, take your bed now. They came in faith. Well, if there's anything lingering about that man, had any little thing that might have been a hindrance, Jesus said, slate clean, clean slate. Well, some of us grew up with those blackboards, you know. Slate blackboards. So, you know, teachers would erase everything, but it's still there. Custodian come in night, clean those things up, it was clean. The blood of Jesus, of course, but Jesus could forgive sins. And, of course, the power of that was taken when he did that. On the cross, of course, forever. So that was so good that the man has a brand new start. As far as Jesus is concerned and God's concerned, hey, I don't go back into that nonsense. Don't go back into sin. Hey, you've got a fresh start here, and besides that, you're going to be able to do what you could not do physically. You're healed. Arise and go. Arise and go. Be of good cheer. Well, that means, hey, be encouraged. Take courage. You can't give courage to somebody if you don't have courage. If it's not in you, you could say take courage, but it's not in you. Well, it was in Jesus, wasn't it? We know that. It was in him. We can say this about Jesus. He never had down days. He never had blue Mondays and bright Saturdays. He was always up. Not because he was God, but because he was a man who yielded to the Holy Spirit. I mean, we understand he was God in the flesh, man, but in other words, he had no power as far as deity. He laid that aside, said he parted that. So he had to grow in wisdom, he had to grow in fellowship. In that process, he had opportunities to be down, depressed, but he passed them up. He was tempted to everything. He could have been depressed. Think about all the opposition that was always coming against him. The teachers, the Pharisees. I think some of them started studying the law even more to try to trap him. But of course they did without the Holy Ghost. Didn't look to him. And of course they didn't. So there's always this pressure. And then Jesus, you could say also, he was always ready. So when they came through the roof, it's like, now what should I say to them? What should I say to him? He was prepared, wouldn't he? And we know one reason why. He would pray to the Father. Spend time with him. He would get, I dare say, there were things put into him. So when something showed up, if he didn't know right away, he didn't say anything. He'd check in with heaven. He said, Father. He wasn't ever pushed into any situation. They tried to push him. But he'd wait till he heard from heaven. Remember the miracle, the wedding feast? So Mary said, it's not my time. And heaven says, yeah, it's time now. Because Mary's asking. Mary knows you've got all the stuff in you. And she's been waiting for a performance. She's been waiting all these years for a performance, and she wants to see it now, and it's okay. It's okay because, you know, you come back from being filled with the Holy Ghost, from being baptized, and I'm sure she says, there's something different about him. There's something different about him now. There's something different. He's my son. I can tell you there's something different about him. He's not walking quite the same as he was before. He's not quite moving the same as he was before. There's something with him. There's something on him. There's something he's carrying. He said he returned in power after being tested. So I think Mary picked up on some things. But anyway. So he said, be of good cheer. Be happy. Have joy. Have joy. Well, this wasn't a joyful situation, but, you know, Jesus, when Jesus shows up, he brings joy. It just comes out of him. They went to him. I'm sure many people would tell them, what are you doing that for? What are you going there for? They did not listen to that. They were so convinced that God was going to do what he would do. They were so convinced that Jesus would do what he would do, that he was a healer, that he was a miracle worker, and we're getting there. We're going there. Hallelujah. Praise God. Be of good cheer. Be encouraged. Be lifted. Be happy. Hallelujah. Well, let's go to Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 14. Another familiar story. Let's pick up in verse 22. Now, this is after, you know, John the Baptist has been beheaded. And here's how Jesus retaliated. He went and ministered to the people and fed the multitudes. And now we'll pick up on verse 22. And immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat. They didn't want to get in the boat. He made them. And go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And then when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It's I. Don't be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you. Command me to come to you on the water. And so he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you little faith, why did you doubt? When he got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Now back to verse 22. He told his disciples, made him get in the boat to go before him. That means, I'm coming later, you go on. I'm coming later. So I'm sure as the disciples get out there, they're thinking, how is he going to get to the other side? How is he going to get over there? He didn't have a boat. How's he going to get over there? They may have lingered for a while, but finally they got going. Well, of course, Jesus got rid of, you know, dismissed the multitude, got them going, you know, headed home and those kind of things. Came up to the mountaintop, pray. And of course, as they're going across the lake, a great storm comes up, and what it is, the devil is trying to wipe out the disciples. And Jesus, of course, is praying, and Mark says he sees them, but I'll guarantee he did not see them in the natural. It was by the Spirit, because it was dark out there, and the waves and all the things going on. And so Jesus said he came to them. Why? Because he knew they were in trouble. They're out there in the middle of the lake, and they're getting no headway. And you know they're tired. And they know how to operate the boat. They're fishermen. But even so, It's a dangerous storm. It's designed to take him out. So Jesus shows up. And of course, Jesus is not supposed to show up this way. He's not supposed to show up this way. And of course, once they finally realize it's Jesus, Jesus is out there in the possibility realm. Jesus is in the possibility realm. What do you mean? With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And Peter realizes, you know what? I didn't know you could walk on water. I think I'm going for it. Is that you, Jesus? Tell me. I want to walk in the water. Jesus said, come. Notice Jesus did not say this. Peter, you can't do this. This is a deity trick. You can't do this. No, you can't do it. No, he said, come. So Peter, as you know, we know, starts walking. I think it's so interesting that Peter gets so close to Jesus, and then all of a sudden, he gets distracted. He starts realizing, what am I doing out here? Save me. And Jesus, he's that close, he just reached out his hand and saved him, of course. And then, of course, they went back to the boat. And so, you know, Peter walked back to the boat. I don't think Jesus drug him back. Drug him. Come on, Peter. I'll get you back in there. No, he walked back in there. But Jesus did not say, hey, way to go, Peter. He said, Peter, why did you doubt? He said, you have little faith. Now, Jesus was not condemning him. But Jesus wanted to realize, hey, this is not acceptable. This is not acceptable. And we've all doubted. God knows that. But God says, don't think that's acceptable. Don't buy into that. You all make mistakes. He didn't condemn him and said, hey, Peter. You could say, I know the way he said it to him, it was a rebuke, but also it was encouraging. It was encouraging. Okay, Peter, you can do better next time. Well, Peter had a little boat, had a little faith. What did those have in the boat? They didn't get out. So he got out. But we cannot be afraid of stepping out on the water, so to speak. Here's another thought. We cannot be afraid of the supernatural things of God. They cried. Screamed like one, like her Patsy, Cameron, they said, like girls. They screamed like girls out there. I thought that was funny. It's like, no, why? Because why? Totally caught off guard. It's like, no, what's going on here? Don't they already had Jesus dead or what? But it's like, hey, a ghost out there. Everything Jesus did had purpose to it. But he was coming to them. He was coming to rescue them. He was coming to make sure they continued their journey, their destiny. He always comes to us. He always comes. Whether it's, he may have come himself personally, but it's by the Holy Ghost for sure. I'll tell you, sometimes he'll send an angel. When things get really tough, God is so aware of our situations. Hallelujah. So he comes. He comes. Hallelujah. So we can be we can have good cheer. We can be encouraged in the face of fear. Here's a thought about fear. You know, we all deal with this, don't we? We have things show up, and I'm sure you have, because I have. All of a sudden, we get fear going. You don't say anything. I can't talk right now. I'm under pressure. Well, that's fear talking. For me, it was. I didn't say anything. Another form of fear is that dread. Well, what I've learned is, you know, Philippians 4 talks about casting your care and all those kind of things. Is we got to get more attention to the Word of God than our problem. Because our problem is talking to us. I mean, it's not ignoring that. But I can get more attention to the truth to help get my mind under control, because it wants to go, it's like the pinball machine. It wants to run all over the place. Right? I got to get a hold of that. Let the truth help me cast out those imaginations, help me deal with the fear or the dread. And sometimes it's a process, isn't it? It's not that we don't know the Bible true, but it's true, but I got to make sure that I got to get that settled. And sometimes there's something else that can help us too. It's called the presence of God. The presence of God can help us get past what we're dealing with. God didn't say ignore the thing. We've all tried that too. But it didn't go away. It's amazing how we can worry about things and still do other things. But if I can worry, I can also think about the truth. And so I have to do things. So sometimes it might require a little more focus on my part. Might require a little more focus. I don't have time to watch TV right now. Nothing wrong watching TV, but you know what? That's not going to help me. I can escape for a little while, but I get over it. It's like it's still there. It's still there. Right? But you all know this. Sometimes things catch us unaware, don't they? Oh, sorry. I'd be afraid of that, right? Thank you, Lord. Sometimes God will send a person to you. He says the right word. Sometimes the pastor has the right word. Whatever it is. Deal with that. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay. Well, let's turn to Acts 23. Acts 23:11. But the following night the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer. In other words, be encouraged, Paul. Take courage, Paul. Have joy, Paul. For as you testify for me in Jerusalem, so you must all bear witness at Rome. Paul is in a very dark place here. I mean, the Sadducees, Pharisees, there's people that want to kill him. He's going through things. It's a very dark time. And then what's ahead of him? There's a plot. We're going to do away with him. It's interesting. Jesus shows up himself and said, be of good cheer. He came to stand by Paul. He came to stand by Paul. He didn't send an angel. Jesus showed up. And Jesus, when he showed up, and said, be of good cheer to Paul. You know what? He imparted something to Paul. There was something imparted to him that was not only dealt with what's going on, but also was ahead of him. What? Yeah. This was, and Paul didn't know Jesus while he was on the earth. And Jesus sees what Paul is doing and going through, and also gives him instructions just to verify and to confirm, keep moving, and where you're going, that you just keep going there. You got to go to Jerusalem. You got to go there. He gave him a sure word of what you're doing. And so what he gave Paul would help Paul to press on through all the stuff. And it was real stuff, as we know. But Jesus, it's so important that Jesus came. It's interesting that Jesus and said, Paul, you be of good cheer. You take courage, Paul. And so just Jesus showing up had to be just an encouragement himself before Jesus even said anything. And then out of that, and also be of good cheer, you know that Jesus deposited joy with him. And we know the joy is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. That's why, you know, James says, we know this, count all joy when you fall on this stuff. I don't want to count joy. It's not very joyful. I know. But I need my joy. I need my strength. I got to get it from heaven. I got to get it from him. So I've learned it's better to have joy. And I have to have the joy. I have to have that strength in the midst of circumstances. So Jesus comes and stands by him. Or you say, Jesus said, I could say it this way. I'm so approved as you, Paul. I'm so, and I'm a necessity because of what's going on here. Hey, I want you to know I'm right here. Not just he's in here, but I think Jesus shows up. Hallelujah. Jesus shows up, something's going on. But I just know there's something. It was so important that when Jesus left, there was something. Paul, I tell you, something was. Paul was strengthened. Paul was encouraged. Paul was lifted. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. So when persecution comes, we can still have joy. Look at John 16:33. We can have courage, we can have joy, we have good cheer in the face of tribulation. John 16:33. John 16:33. Says this, and these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. What's he saying here? You're going to face things. You're going to face things that almost sometimes are designed to take you out, but they can't unless you let them. I've overcome that. I've already broken that. But, you have, in other words, be of good cheer. In other words, look to me. Be encouraged. In other words, you're going to have to face some things. I am. I'm going to face some things. How about you? Can't we just have everything real easy? In this world, he said, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. No, the devil, he has lost. Jesus is the victor. Jesus is everything. Remember the Old Testament? When God says the battle's mine, and sent the praisers out, I thought it was interesting. The praisers still had to face the enemy. I think that might have been the day some people wished they hadn't joined the choir that week. Naturally, of course. But no, wait a minute. Because who lives in us, and because how good God is, he will help us to make progress in the days we live in now. Greater is he that's in us. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. I mean, weapons are formed, but they're not going to prosper. A reminder of this. There's an intercessor that we pray with, not so much lately, but there's other things going on, but we have in the past, and her daughter, Melinda, was here. Remember Melinda? Africa. Well, her mom's a real intercessor. And so we never have met her mom, but we've prayed many times over the phone. And so her son, Melinda's brother, is a pastor out there. And of course, her mom's name is Dana. They go to church there. Anyway, they left this building to go to another building, and this lawyer, who's crooked, really, was suing them for things that was not true. Well, they end up going to court, and so I read along the Bible in a different New Living Translation, and the Lord used that. I found the verse. I said, this, I think, is the verse that you need for your situation. And so it was. But they had to go through the court proceedings. They found a good lawyer. It wasn't an easy thing. But they won the case. Because this guy had done this many times before, and nobody wanted to go to court. And and so he would just, you know, put pressure. And the pastor, of course, he didn't want to do this in one sense because, you know, but he went there and got the victory. See, he had to go through that. It wasn't pleasant to go through, but God said, I've overcome that. And of course, they're praying, and so believing God, working together, you know, in that process. And God showed up. I don't even think the lawyer was a believer. It doesn't matter. But the lawyer was good. And be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Oh, this is not a cheerful situation. Huh. Go to court. I'm going to go to court. No, when you know you're supposed to. When you know you're supposed to. It works. Hallelujah. Let me see. Then, turn to Acts 27. You know, God could use us to spread cheer, to bring encouragement, to bring courage. Acts 27. Let me down verse 22. Let me see this. Yeah, yes, we'll start there. Okay. Now this is Paul. In verse 22, it says, now I exhort you to be of good cheer. For there should be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. But there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I am served, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that shall be even as that was told me, howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island. It's interesting, he used the same words that Jesus used on him. So Paul could say, be of good cheer, because why? He's heard from heaven here. So he's not just speaking something, oh, I think we're going to make it here. He has a surety he's going to make it. And he's endeavoring to get that over to them. Said, be of good cheer. Take courage, men. Be encouraged, men. We're not going to die. We're going to live. Even, he didn't say this, but even in spite of your making wrong decisions here, the mercy of God's here. And I have a destiny. And I'm not dying now. I heard there were some people killed in a plane wreck. Not everybody. And before, they're coming in. And this guy said, I'm going to die. And this other man, I'm not going to die. I got more to do for God. I'm not going to die now. And he didn't die. He didn't die. Most of them died. He didn't. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Isn't that a big key there? For I believe God. Be of good cheer. Well, hey, Paul said, I want to live too, you know. I want to live. But God says, I'm going to live. And God says, you're going to live too. You're going to live. But we're going to be on an island, but we're going to live. Be of good cheer. Be encouraged. Take courage. Have some joy about you. Take joy too while you're at it. Isn't that good? So you know, in the midst of this, Paul, you know Paul's reaching towards heaven. Paul's reaching towards heaven. Heaven says, you know what, I think we better answer Paul here. Send the angel down there and talk to him. So Paul's in communication. And God gives him what he needs. Here's the deal, Paul. You're going to live and so forth and on. And tell the rest of them there. They're going to make it. And we're going to make it if we look to God. And we are looking to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, our problems and difficulties can seem like the biggest things in our lives, but they're not bigger than God. We can be fine today, and tomorrow something shows up that can seem so overwhelming. And maybe it is in the natural. Now, wait a minute. That's right, God. But God. But God's here. But God's in here. But God. Whew, just a minute, I gotta take a break. I gotta take a God break. Yes, thank you. You know how it goes. Things go up like all the peace, all the thing went out the window, so to speak. Wait a minute, I gotta get that back. Where did that go? You know, it didn't go, but you know what I'm saying. I still do. I must do. I'm reminded of this story. You know how those men are so desperate to bring that man to Jesus and tear the roof off? This woman's husband was dying in the hospital with cancer. He weighed 200 and some pounds. He's down to 67 pounds. And she heard an evangelist, healing evangelist, R.W. Schombach, was close by. And she said, I'm going to take him there. She told the doctor. Well, she's going to go down to the to Houston, which is a cancer area, but that she wouldn't take him to the area. And she said, I'm taking him to a man of God. He said, I don't believe in that. She said, I'll hide his clothes. So she said, well, I'll steal a sheet then. So then she took a sheet. And of course, our Debbie, he's preaching, got this, and this woman shows up carrying something in this sheet and drops this sheet down in front of him and says, and he could smell. It was, you know, knew it was cancer. She said, I'm not going to let him die. Pray for him. Same way, Kate came knowing that God was going to do something. It's not on the sheet. It was how the hospital's name was on the sheet. She stole the sheet. She wasn't going to let him die because they said there's no hope for him. He's got a few days to live. She said, well, I'm taking him someplace. I know it's not going to be that way. It's not going to stay that way. Well, he got, a few months later, or where it was, well, this man shows up at another meeting, starts to give Schombach a big hug, and said, what's the deal with this? I'm the man you prayed for. Now he weighed 200 pounds. Totally healed, totally restored. Because the woman said, nope, you're not dying now. You're not dying. I'm not letting you die now. I'm bringing you to Jesus. I'm taking you to Jesus. That same kind of attitude. Get the roof off, tear it off, I don't care, whatever. I'm doing it. It's interesting how she got out of the hospital, isn't it? A sheet. And she had to carry him. She carried him. You're not dying. I'm not letting you die. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your greatness. Thank you, Lord, that you always bring help to us. You always encourage us, Lord. You always lift us, Lord. You always help us in every way. We thank you. We thank you, Father, that you truly do bring good cheer. You truly do bring good cheer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We thank you, Father. That, Lord, not only that you bring good cheer to us, help us, Lord, bring good cheer to others. Help us bring good cheer to others. Help us bring good cheer to others. I thank you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just in a second, a minute. Is there anything else the Lord wants me to share? Some of my testimony. Hallelujah. I believe I have delivered what I need to deliver tonight. I think what Pastor Mary has been sharing on about the one another, I tell you that we'd all have an expansion with what all that means. I mean, we carry somebody from heaven inside us. We are new creations. If we have accepted Jesus, we're new creations. And we have the living power of God in us. We have the power of the Holy Ghost in us. And so we need, obviously, the leadings of God, the wisdom of God. But it's like having a fresh attitude of reaching out, Lord, who do you want me to go touch the minister to? Who do you want me to? A believer. A believer. New season. New season. New season. New season for us. New season for the church. New season for us individually. New season for corporately. More than Saturday night change. More than meeting on Saturday night. Well, just praise God for that. Hallelujah. But you know what I mean? Thank you, Father, that you help us, Lord, to fulfill and walk in the rest of this year what you designed for us to. And we just thank you, Father, for this. In Jesus' name, amen.